are.
Really? Wow. Come on. Talk about that? Is it better? Like I would know. Looks at me like I would know.
He knows.
I do not know.
Actually, I did a...
Go ahead.
I did a gig, and a urologist friend of mine gave me a bunch of Cialis.
Yeah.
That is, just block off a weekend.
Instead of paying you? Was it instead of?
No, it was a...
And you were hard up.
He called it a stimulus package.
And it was.
And stimulated my package.
Hey! Unfortunately, that was the start.
You know what? I like it.
To the Grant Wood Show. Welcome. Here we are. And Mark Cordes is with us. He's actually revealing quite a bit. Right
learning
off the bat.
A lot about Mark today.
Yes, we are.
Really?
Carrie Dozer. And coming up, we're going to talk to Michael Bidwell a little bit about the Cardinals, but he's also all over the papers because he was leading the effort here for GPAC, talking about the big budget crisis we have in Arizona. So we'll talk to him. We're going to talk about immigration reform because the president is putting that on the table, and we're going to have a big, I guess, summit or some bullshit they're going to do down at the border or something. McCain's in on it, and all these people are going to talk tough, I guess. And we're going to grant the Woody coming up. But before we get to that, Mark would like to share about Viagra. Viva Viagra. That is so weak, those commercials. They wrecked the song,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's got to be...
wasn't that good anyway.
Is Priscilla Presley making probably a little money off that now, though?
Think?
No, nothing. Why would she make it?
Is that just...
He didn't write it.
Oh, okay.
No,
I thought maybe
nothing.
She owned it.
Nah, I don't think so. I know. She probably needs it, but... I would think.
Speaking
for
she's
Botox.
About 90 now.
Wow, for Botox payments.
Oh yeah, that doesn't look good,
frozen.
Does it?
No.
But
at
you know
point.
When she, you know when she peaked, and it was still Botox City, is in the Naked Gun
yeah.
deal when she climbed up on the ladder and he said, "Nice beaver,"
yeah.
and then she pulled down. She had, he had a beaver stuffed beaver up there.
The Valley's own Leslie Nielsen. That
yes.
was really funny.
Yep, he's the man. Campaign for me, right?
Yes, he did some work for the Grant Woods for Attorney General.
1994, he helped me out. We have a big poster, actually, I still have at my office. It says Truth and Justice. And the two of us are flashing our badges there.
Wow.
And
Shirley, you must be joking.
Was it as,
please don't call me Shirley.
Did he campaign as Leslie Nielsen or Frank Drebin?
As Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie,
but
yeah.
that kind of looked like Frank Drebin in the picture, and I kind of look like Barney Fife.
No,
bit.
You just have a little, your hair's long.
Yeah. Long?
It was like curling.
Oh, come on.
Really bad.
Bad?
What year was that?
That's good.
What year was that?
94.
Yeah,
he was
the tail end of the mullet.
Yeah. Come on. You know what? I went to a couple of Diamondback games.
A couple? You went to every one.
Five straight, baby.
Every game.
Five straight. A couple painful ones. Actually,
yeah.
Three. But, you know, I would give a lot of money. I guess if I'm trying to think if I had one wish, besides world peace.
Let me
you
guess.
Had finally one wish.
And let me guess where this is going.
I would be Manny Ramirez for 1 year. I mean, I would love to have his hair. I would love to have his 22 mil for 1 year.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to hit like that guy.
Yeah,
the guy is absolutely, he's the best hitter in the game, in my opinion. I actually read an article on Manny. They, four guys, they took four people, A-Rod, I think Vlad, somebody else, all great, Pujols, and Manny.
Burns.
Pujols, there's
Burns.
An unfortunate name you can play with. Put that one down
Eric
for later.
Eric Burns was fifth, and unfortunately they went with four. and they analyzed their swings, and you know, of course, baseball guys are nuts anyway with their statistics and how they analyze every little thing. But they went frame by frame and everything. And the interesting thing about Manny was they said of anyone in baseball in major leagues, he waits the longest to swing
yep.
and still hits the ball. I mean, we have quite a few guys who wait a long time to swing.
They miss.
they right. miss. They watch it into the mitt, or they foul it. No, he waits just a split second longer, and that's, you know, that's everything in baseball because you can see the ball break. You know, just got a little more time to see the action on the ball.
He is
and
awesome, and
at.
He puts it wherever he wants to.
Oh, he's
sick. Awesome.
I hate that guy.
And you know, you get ahead of him 0-2, and the next thing you know, he's on first base with a
right.
walk.
Yeah, because no one wants to pitch to him.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, I know. But, you know, we didn't want to go get a power hitter. We don't need a power hitter.
No.
I mean, because we got all the power
couldn't
we need, apparently.
That one.
Couldn't afford Adam Dunn, who I just noticed signed for $8 million. That's all he signed for. That's not that much. And people go, oh, Adam Dunn, he wasn't that great. Oh, really? Let's see, 40 homers, 100 RBIs for like the fifth season in a row, and about 9 million walks. And instead we have, nobody.
Justin, I liked Adam Dunn, too, just for the record.
Adam Dunn is great.
Yeah.
Anyone who thinks Adam Dunn is not just fantastic is an idiot. And not reflecting on anyone we've had call into the show.
I like the way you've opened it up for discussion.
yes.
It's very inclusive.
No, honestly. I mean, what more do you want from a guy? They go, oh, well, I don't know. He walked a lot. A walk is good, last time I checked. Anyway, we're not going to dwell on the Diamondbacks. Those of you listening from out of state, which we have a lot of out-of-state people.
Yes, we do.
I just heard from people from St. Louis over last week, so I'm glad you guys are listening. Anyway, we didn't start out too well. And besides the fact nobody's hitting, and we lost both series.
And Brandon Webb's on the DL.
We had the good news today that Brandon Webb, who is our ace, is on the DL. That's not good. So great start
for
the season.
Who's our next? Who rolls into town next?
Cardinals.
St. Louis.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I wish it was Pittsburgh, because everybody's killing the Pirates. I just heard the news.
Which is pretty cool, by the way.
Three Pirates dead. Can you name them? Billy Stargell.
Clemente. Ralph Kiner.
And Ralph Kiner, yes.
Don't you love them, though? They're like, okay, so anybody who picks on us next, you're dead. You're pirates.
Yeah,
you're actually law-breaking bastards. Mm-hmm. You're not like freedom fighters or you have an agenda. You're freaking pirates. You're thieves.
Yeah. They're not like Johnny Depp. They're not cool at all.
They're not doing anything for
anything. Well, okay. Now, I want to say this in defense of the president, because I had so many people were just really coming down on Obama. And, of course, the right-wing machine was in full gear, that the patsy, big liberal, pacifist Obama. This is what, you know, this is what we're in for here. The guy obviously wouldn't go take out these pirates. He's just sitting there. It's embarrassing to everybody. There's gonna be more and more of this. And by God, if George W. Bush was president, he wouldn't have done this. And the answer to that is no, he wouldn't. He would have lobbed a big bomb on that stupid little rowboat, and the three pirates would be dead. But so would the American.
So would the captain.
And he go, oh well, nothing we could do about that. But Obama, I think it reflected Obama. He was patient, he was calm, cool, collected, and at the right moment, boom.
Killed the bad guys.
Nailed them all.
Yep.
You know,
very cool.
Just one split second, all three shot.
Yep.
They said they killed all of them with total of three bullets.
Yeah.
They're good, though.
Navy,
that's a good
Navy
squad.
Navy SEALs are not too shabby.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
I just hope that this violence doesn't create more pirates. You know, that's what we heard about the terrorists. We're breeding more terrorists.
Yes.
So
we didn't give in to them.
We minimized the violence. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
oh, God, wait till they get the video on. I wonder what pirate training camp video is going to look like. Because, you know, the terrorists use the monkey bars.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to pirates use? Rowboats?
They didn't, you know, they didn't look as good as the guys in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Orlando Bloom was not one of them.
They looked like they smelled really bad.
Oh, God, the poor
imagine?
Guy.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's probably the main thing. He's.
I surrender. You guys freak. It stinks on this
boat. That was awesome. It was very cool. And, again, kudos to the military.
I love that Captain Phillips dove off the boat a couple days before that.
Swimming.
That was the
I'm
best.
Out.
Well, that was a question I think people legitimately had is why didn't someone, you know, lob a bomb on him then when he was in the water? I mean, that made some degree of sense. I don't know the answer to that. What is the
I think he was, his thought was, okay, if I dive in now, I know that there are Navy SEALs with their guns trained
correct,
on these guys.
Yes.
So I'll just stay underwater for 30 seconds. I'll
I
pop
think that
back
was
up.
His idea.
He comes up and they're still
and they're still
what
there.
The hell?
Why is that?
No, I gave you half a minute.
Why didn't they shoot him then?
Well,
I don't
that's.
Know.
We'll
they weren't ready, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Well,
lunch break. The SEAL break.
Well, the SEALs are in the union.
SEALs were on break.
They were taking.
The SEALs are out.
They play pinochle from 6 to 6.
Oh, you know why?
You can't dive off.
No, you know why? It was over the week. They were Easter SEALs.
Oh,
okay, but seriously.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
That was right.
I know. That's
that
not
was righteous.
What can I say? Maybe that wasn't it.
Maybe Heidi Klum was with him.
We need a studio audience for that. That was really good.
Seriously. Okay.
One of them's married to Heidi Klum. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
Yes.
Is he a cool guy? He must be.
God, he's got a beautiful voice. He's not bad looking either.
Does he? Is
well,
he?
He's got the.
He's got a kind of a. Is that a tattoo?
He's got like
a
pirate
like
thing.
No, no, no.
It's a scar.
It's a scar.
Yeah, but it's like divots. It's
yeah,
like
it's not
a
good.
Self-inflicted tribal.
He
kind of
Heidi
thing.
Klum.
I
yeah.
What the hell? That's what I'm saying. He must be a hell of a guy.
Yep.
Must have a great personality.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't be my first choice for Heidi.
If she gave you, yeah, if she gave you first
two.
Pick.
Yes. Well, maybe she's not the greatest. You know, she looks great, obviously. But like Christie Brinkley, I used to really be down on Billy Joel. I thought, you know, because he looks like a freaking frog, and he lands Christie Brinkley
and can't make it work.
And can't make it work. Whatever she wants, you know, just let it go, dude. I mean, you hit the jackpot.
He keeps marrying other women, though. He keeps making it work.
In this last thing, this last go around with her in that divorce situation, she seemed like a real ass. So maybe she's not so swift. So maybe Heidi Klum isn't too great around the house.
Plus, you know what?
I'm sure her kitchen skills are lacking. Yeah.
Who wants
like
a
anyone
5'11",
really
gorgeous, multimillionaire supermodel strolling around their house day in and day out? That would just get old.
Oh, well, you know, that's the according to Chris Rock, that's true, right?
Yes.
Yes, for every beautiful woman you see, there's some guy who's tired of hosing her. And there's, you know, there may be some truth to that.
Is that true?
Well, that's what he says.
Wow.
Right. And, you know, yeah, it may be true. I mean,
staying quiet on this. My wife listens to
the show. Yeah, it has, you know, right. In my case, it hasn't been true. But
no, you guys aren't tired.
I hear that. I hear that about other people. Speaking of strange women, did you, Mark's wife is an American Idol fan, and I check out American Idol from time to time. It's moderately interesting. They had a woman on there who put on a show. They've had two of my favorites on there. Back-to-back weeks. Now, none of the American Idols themselves. Most of those are very painful to watch, with the exception of Adam Lambert, who I do think is really good. But the rest of them I pretty much can't stand. Except for our guy from the Valley.
Scott
guy
McIntyre.
From Scottsdale. Scott. Oh, actually, yeah? he got booted last week. I'm not a fan of his either. He kind of sucks. But you know, he's from here, and, you know, he's got some issues, and good for him. Did he go to Arizona State? Anyone know? Because I just saw he said he graduated at age 19 from college. So
I don't know.
DeVry.
Yeah. He didn't go to Occidental.
No, he did not.
If he graduated at 19. Not, you know, I'm sure he's really smart.
But only really smart kids go there.
That's true. Anyway, they had two of my favorite acts on. Last week they had Flo Rida. Did you catch Flo Rida?
Flo Rida, isn't it?
Yeah, I like calling Flo Rida.
Oh, okay.
No, I do. I love him. I think he was great, and he is great. So I recommend him to all you hip-hop fans. But Ryan Seacrest had his first good line. How long has that show been on?
God. And he's been on a lot of shows.
Yeah, Flo Rida is very buff, and he had on his sleeveless shirt, and he was doing his thing. And Seacrest looked up, and he just said, I got to go to the gym.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. And he looks so wimpy next to
but in,
cute little
Flo.
Ryan.
But let me explain that. What he didn't mean the gymnasium. He just meant his boyfriend named Jim.
Oh.
Go to, so they say, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So they say. What about that fake picture of him?
I mean, my gaydar
is Terry Hatcher a few years ago.
Well, you summed it up when you
yeah,
said
fake.
You know, Rock Hudson was married, too.
Yeah, that's true. They have a lot of beards over there in Hollywood, don't they? That's kind of the deal. It's not good.
You
but
know,
anyway.
You know who started that, by the way?
Who?
You're talking about like the 3-day growth where you try and look macho-ish?
Yeah, well, they call it a beard if you have a fake spouse or a fake girlfriend.
I thought you meant like the when
this is a cool reference. This is not actually a beard.
I thought you meant when Seacrest
looks very,
ago.
This is Hollywood talk
yes, sir,
from
yes.
Grant Woods.
Yes.
No, every not, week, a new word
yes,
from Grant.
It's
a
it's
beard.
Not Hollywood. That's just the way it is.
No, yeah,
cool.
That's what that. No, I didn't know that, but I hate when Seacrest lets it go like 3 days
oh,
to look that
God.
Scruffy.
Yeah. So does
looks
Jim.
Macho.
Jim hates it,
Jim
too.
Jim hates it. Gets
you know
all
who
changed.
Started that whole thing?
Who?
A lot of people think it was George Michael or Don Johnson
mm-hmm.
from
Perfect
Miami
examples
Vice.
Of people in hiding.
It
probably.
Was Jed Clampett actually started that look.
Oh, but what, he didn't have a watch? Because his went on for quite a while.
Yeah, but he just had that little scruffy.
Did you ever hear Jed? I mean, I love Buddy Ebsen. Buddy Ebsen, one of the few people to have two big hit series.
Wow.
You know, not many people have been able to have two hit series. Bob Newhart, Dick Van Dyke, Valley's own Dick Van Dyke did. Few people have. Andy Griffith, of course.
Next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire.
Well, Jed, you know, but I love that guy. And I'm really glad you brought him up, that we can pay tribute to him. Of course, he was the original Scarecrow, or Tin Man, rather. Original Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. And then the makeup didn't agree with him.
That's the metallic makeup.
And so they got somebody else. But he was a dancer in his day and everything. And what I liked was, this is a classic, Miss Jane, Nancy Culp. You ever hear this? She ran for Congress back, I think, in Maryland. And you can, I'm sure you can find it, but I've heard the radio ad when she ran. Buddy Ebsen, Jed, did a radio ad for her opponent. That's kind of bad form,
yeah.
Don't you think?
That's
well,
beautiful.
Apparently, Buddy's quite conservative, and Jane is not. And I think she was, I think she's not heterosexual, let's put it that way. And Buddy didn't like that either. Back in the day, it wasn't as popular as it is now. And so he did this ad, and it was weak. And he talked like Jed. He goes, hey, howdy there, folks. Buddy Ebsen. You know, I was with that, I was with Nancy Culp. I was with her. She played Miss Jane, and I was with her a lot. And I like her, but... Man, she's a big liberal. Jesus. Someday I had needed to have a long talk with that girl, but didn't work out. And she's too liberal for me. I wouldn't vote for her. And I don't think you should vote for her either. I'm voting for Bob Jones.
Sign of a great race right there. Yes. Buddy Ebsen does the ad.
She got smoked. She got creamed. And, you know, my buddy Mike Easley, who is the governor of North Carolina for 8 years. In fact, he's listening to our podcast, and the governor has agreed to come on.
Love
in the coming
him.
Weeks, we'll have him on. He is the greatest guy. Well, he's
very entertaining.
He's from North Carolina, quite the character, and I mean, just did great things for education, and I mean, he's really a great public servant. But when he ran for governor, he was the attorney general, and it was tight race, and he got someone to do a TV ad who'd never done an ad for a politician before. And it pushed him way over the edge, and he won easily. And that was Andy Griffith.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, in North Carolina.
Huge.
Yeah. So, yeah, they were sitting there. It was a great ad, and they're just talking. He goes, I just want to tell you, my friend Mike Easley here, he's a good guy. I know him pretty well, and I think he'll do a great job as governor. Oh, thank you, Andy. And
there's another guy.
That's like all you need, man.
You loved his second series, too. He had two great series as well, and I know Matlock was one of your favorite shows ever.
You know what?
It's hard to talk.
When Matlock was on, I made a lot of fun of it, but as I get older, it's getting better.
Oh, God. You know it's bad when...
That and Murder, She Wrote. That's a good night. If you can just... if you get the box set of those and then just pull the trigger and blow your brains out because you're done.
Angela Lansbury. Oh.
Those are bad.
So bad.
Yeah. No, Matlock's... I only like because of Andy.
Yeah.
But other than that... Actually, he was a great actor. I just watched... See, this is just what you said you hoped. This is what you wanted our shows to become. It's just...
Just
bullshitting about everything.
But
one
show.
Thing to another. But anyway, I just watched Andy Griffith in his, I think, first movie, which is called Face in the Crowd. Anyone ever seen Face in the Crowd?
Jeez, never.
Skip that
Face
one.
No, Face in the Crowd is it was a very big movie. It was an important movie. And way, way out there. I'm not sure it was Elie Kazan, but it might have been. I shouldn't say that, but I think it might have been. Anyway, it was, he plays... I recommend everybody see Face in the Crowd.
Write it down.
First, it's a good movie.
Put it on the website.
It's a good movie. And second, it would be solid today. Really, really bold in the day. And Andy Griffith is, I'll just say in a nutshell, Andy Griffith is like a small-time crook. He's in jail, and this woman, speaking of radio here, this gal who was... Patricia Neal. She works for the small town radio station, and she goes to do some interviews in the jail. And everybody's laying around and being deadbeats, and they don't want to talk. And finally, Andy says he'll talk, and he has a guitar, and he sings a couple little songs for her. And they have kind of, he makes them up as he goes along, little social commentary in them, and they play them, and people start writing in, going, hey,
I like this guy.
That's good, have him back. And then they have him back, and he becomes this little sensation. Make a long story short, he ends up being the biggest star in the country on television. and he's basically a complete fraud. He's a crook still. He's a complete charlatan. He manipulates, like a lot of criminals, he's a manipulator. He manipulates the audience. And the point of the movie was, it was back in the early 50s, I think. The point of the movie was the fear of what television could be. That this new medium of television could come along and like brainwash everybody.
And now we have American Idol.
Fake leaders out there.
It happened.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, but Andy Griffith is over the top in this movie. And that was his first, I think it was his first movie.
But he's
and
the bad guy.
Then he did No Time for Sergeants. Yeah, but he was he ended up playing the bad guy later in his career. And he's really, he was a fine actor. And that No Time for Sergeants, you know, is like the precursor to Andy Griffith's show, but also to Gomer Pyle, because he was in the Marines, and he was... Gomer Pyle is No Time for Sergeants, really.
Andy's had that dead, role. Is he? Andy's still alive.
Oh, yeah, well, he's removed, too. You can imagine his dad, General, you know. Here is his son recording about the Sandinistas and all that, and he refused to do anything else, so he goes through all that. Anyway, but he hung tough, and it's just some... Just some great, great stuff. Some lines I can't tell you. Even on our show, I cannot tell you.
Wow, saying something. So pick it up.
I can't tell you. Yeah, pick it up because he attributed to Waylon Jennings. Oh, I think it's his line, but he has a line about Toby Keith of what he says, which I haven't told you guys yet. This line, it's even better. But those of you who hate Toby Keith,
it's a big club.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke leads with at Willie Nelson's 70th birthday party. They're all in the room. Ray Charles, Nora Jones, I mean, you name it. All these people are there. And Toby Keith rolls in as an ass, and Christopherson absolutely...
Schools him.
Shreds him. He has to, like, wimp, you know, just limp out of the room. It's so great. So he tells about that. And for the last week, Toby Keith has been trying to deny that and salvage his career, his reputation. Anyway, so check that out, those of you who are fans.
He may be way on his way to salvaging his career, though, because he just opened his new... barbecue restaurant in Mesa.
Is there a Toby Keith over there? Mm-hmm. Toby Keith has a great voice, I think.
The Toby Keith, I Love This Bar and Grill.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
See, there's a good example of Toby Keith, though. That song, it's, you know, I find myself, I'll be singing along with that song because it's very catchy and he sings it really well. And then I listen to the lyrics and they're so freaking stupid. I'm going, why am I singing this?
Yeah, because.
Because I'm a dork. I mean, I cannot sing the song.
Words today just don't have the depth they did when we were kids. Like, I am the Eggman, I'm the Walrus, Cuckoo Cuckoo.
Well, that was, it's gone downhill.
Yeah.
Flo Rida. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you, the last one before we get to it.
Wait, is that spelled like Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's
Florida.
No hyphen.
He just put a Flo. And Flo's his first name and Rida is his last name.
I know.
Did you see the Easy Flow? Oh, that's a whole that's from Johnson & Johnson.
Oh my God!
Yes, for heavy days. Anyway, did you see the week earlier? I thought one of the great performances I'm gonna say I've ever seen on television. Lady Gaga. Did you see that? You guys know Lady Gaga?
That's American Idol. You missed it.
Are we back on American Idol?
Yeah. Did you see Lady Gaga on there?
No. Somehow my TiVo didn't get
that. Ask your wife. Let me tell you something. Lady Gaga absolutely killed. It was the best performance I've seen since I can't remember when. On television, anyway. She is cool. Her songs are cool. I like her. I know nothing about her. I don't know what her story is.
She got a Twitter?
I don't think she doesn't look like a Twitterer. No.
Lady
By the way, I had to take off a few people.
Did you?
On the Twitter.
Had to cut off Demi Moore.
I had to cut off Diablo Cody. She Twitters nonstop, and she's kind of an asshole.
You would think her Twitters would be good. Her tweets.
No.
Her what?
She's an ass.
You know, speaking of
I Twittered her back and kind of schooled her.
Shut up.
Well, she made this big deal that I'll tell you what bugged me, and I just hate these pseudo intellectuals like her who. Pseudo-intellectual slash strippers who, she puts in there, this is her witty comment on Friday. You know, I remember as a child, it was always cloudy and rainy on Good Friday, and I used to think it was God being sorrowful. Uh-huh. And now I realize it was because I lived in Chicago. I said, oh, good
God,
one.
That's
good
horrible.
One. I know. So I did, you know, you generally don't email back or Twitter back. I Twitter back and I said, are you sure? I think you had it right the first time.
Oh, my God.
And then that was it. We were done.
You know, this whole, this I still have yet to Twitter.
You're not missing a lot. But if you folks do want to Twitter,
You can Twitter with Grant.
Yes, it's on our website. Punch in or Grant Woods, one word.
I go on the Facebook every day. And you know how a lot of people are making friends because of Facebook?
Yes.
I'm actually losing friends because, of Facebook because I see what these people I've called friends for years, yeah. how they spend their day. And I just go, why am I a friend with this book?
You're a loser. Hi, I'm unpacking from my recent trip to Greece.
Busy day. Better get started. 12 minutes ago. You know, you could finally fit a lot more stuff on your schedule if you just get off the keyboard.
The hell up.
Yeah, get off the keyboard. I know. Twitter's worse because it's smaller. I can't
even look at people the same way anymore when I see how that, you know.
Yeah, you got some jet beat friends.
Dorkalope. you must spend 8 hours a day on this thing.
Oh, my God. Hey, let's do the Woody so we have it done here because
we're going to talk to
Mr. Bidwell here in a second.
I got to tell you a little funny, funny story about the American Idol phenomenon.
Let's hear it. Are you an Adam fan?
Don't know who he is. Didn't know who he was until Saturday.
No.
Adam's
all right.
My stepdaughter, my daughter, was at the house and she's got, oh my God, you got to listen to Adam Lambert.
Mm-hmm.
So she puts on Play That Funky Music White Boy he did.
Yeah, he did a good job.
By Wild Cherry. Yeah. And sings it, and I'm like, oh, okay, that was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Redo it. I swear to God, 40 times?
Oh, my God.
And now I've closed the door to my office, but I can still hear it cranking.
Oh, I know. That's what happens.
So at one point, I step out, and I said, is his name Adam Lambert, like Lambert? And mm-hmm. she says, yeah. Why? And I said, I want to make sure I spell it right in my suicide note. Swear to God, if I'd have had a gun in my mouth or in my house, it would have been in my mouth.
Oh my God!
It's like 40 times. You can't do that.
I just remembered I had a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about how we're going to do these would yous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do have a question for you.
Would you rather?
This is our first one. Yeah. Would you? Would you, if the reward was $10 million tax free? $10 million tax free.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, do I have to wait for the question?
Yes, you do.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Would you be actively gay for 1 year? $10 million. So you know, next April, whatever, you would get $10 million. Boom, taxes paid.
Start the clock.
Really?
Well, wait. Actively. Let me ask you this.
And by that, I mean you can't walk around going, "I'm gay," but then not really.
No. Can
you've got to like participate?
Can I be monogamous?
No, you're gay now.
No, what I mean is,
you're monogamous now. Oh, you mean with one guy? I thought you meant with yourself.
No. Okay. No, that's monogamous.
Not gay. That's, yeah.
That is monogamous.
That's status quo.
I thought you said monotonous. Sorry.
I was going to say, I've been doing this for nothing.
Yeah,
for years.
I know. Me too.
Sometimes I don't even mean for it to happen. I just.
Oh, my God.
I'm just, you know,
really?
I have a drink or two, and the next thing I know, I'm all over myself.
That's not good.
But anyway, yes. I mean, but I want to be monogamous and gay.
Okay, but you would
for $10 million.
You could find a guy, and you'd have to do the whole.
See, that might be trouble for me.
No, there's plenty
out there.
I've
let myself go to the point. I've let myself go to the point where I'm repulsive to both sexes.
I think we could find somebody to love you.
Yeah, okay. We could. So you would do it.
Let me look into the camera on
you
this.
You would do it.
Looking for love.
You just said yes. $10 million is a lot of money. You'd never have to work again.
Tax-free, too, so it's 10.
Buy a lot of mouthwash.
God.
Carrie, we're moving to you now. Would you do it?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Holy shit.
The difference is you want to watch that. You don't want to watch that.
Well, sure. Right. True. One is...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Why is that?
One is artistic and a beautiful thing of nature.
Well, and just
and the other is disgusting.
And just geometry. There's.
Well, the other's not meant to be. No,
yeah,
it doesn't.
The other's
work.
Just
work.
No. There's.
No, it's the round peg and the square. I don't know. Whatever it is.
It's two pegs button into each other.
That's true. No. Yeah, exactly.
I'm reading.
Do we get to ask
so you?
So you
both would?
So you're
no. Absolutely no.
Yeah. Well, you've already got $100 million in the bank.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Oh yeah, I wish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, someone asked me this, so I'll just give you one more of these. This may be, I mean, I put it from in my own world here. Which would I choose here? I could play one night, and by play, I mean I would actually be able to play really well, okay, in the NBA for the Suns, one night in a big game, or...
Wait. Suns in a big game?
This is make believe. Okay. Yeah. Okay. One night and play for the Suns, you know, and be able to compete, or one night, Jean Valjean in Les Mis.
Oh my God.
Which would I choose? Now, what do you? Which one do you think I would choose?
I think you choose Jean Valjean.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? She's right.
I know what I would take.
Jean Valjean.
I would do the Suns thing.
You would? No, I'd take Jean Valjean. To know that you could walk out there and sing.
And sing.
And sing those. I mean, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, but to come off the bench and deck Robert Horry.
Beautiful.
See?
One of my Dylan's first name is Jean. This is what a wacko we are on Les Mis, you know. So, Jean Dylan. And by the way, I have to mention, I have two birthdays this week. Actually, I have three. Three birthdays in 1 week. My mother, 2 days ago, turned, she's going to kill me, 75. And Cole Woods, 18.
18.
Today.
Wow. Age of consent.
And on Thursday, Jean Dylan Woods turns 14. That's sick.
Kids are old.
I know. What the hell? Yeah, it's not good. But, yeah, so happy birthday to all you dudes. Okay, now look.
Awesome.
Can we do this? Yeah, we have to now. Let's do this, Woody. There was a lot of competition this week. The vice president got into it with Karl Rove. I mean, I fault both sides on that, by the way. Rove for being an ass, and the vice president for, why even acknowledge these people are around? I mean, you're the vice president, you know? Same thing with Obama. Just
rise
ignore
above.
People like Limbaugh and those guys. But, you know, I initially, first time I saw this on our website, by the way, is where I did see it. I cut him some slack, and then I watched it again, and I couldn't cut him any slack. So, drum roll, please. Wow, that's good. Today's Woody goes to Billy Bob Thornton. Now, if you checked our website, and you can check it now if you haven't seen it yet, or YouTube, Billy Bob Thornton gave a really strange interview to Canadian radio last week and somehow managed to piss off an entire country. Hard to do, but he did it. He was in Canada with his new band to promote their new album. By the way, it's their third within the last year, and still nobody's heard of them. And he's also promoting their tour. They were opening for Willie Nelson and Ray Price. Billy Bob apparently made it clear beforehand that he was not to be asked about acting. It's not even to be mentioned since he was there as a musician. And the interviewer, when they started, simply mentioned that Billy Bob was a famous actor, just mentioned it for context, and that sent Billy Bob over the edge. He then, in answers to questions, claimed to have never met Willie Nelson, even though he was on tour with him, said he didn't know how long his own band had been together. He had no musical influences, except when asked for the third time, he said he did enter a movie monster contest once when he was a kid. The interviewer wouldn't, he said, you wouldn't ask Tom Petty that question when he was asked, are you really passionate about music and who are your musical influences? So why, if you wouldn't ask Tom Petty, did you ask Billy Bob?
Because well, Tom Petty's in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Exactly. Better question. Why did he even interview Billy Bob, who's obviously an egomaniacal nut job who thinks he's oh so much smarter and cooler than everyone else? But Billy Bob's biggest mistake was saying in the interview, Canadian audiences are a little strange, pretty reserved, and they're a little like mashed potatoes without the gravy. Now, that may be true, who knows, but it's not too swift for such a smart guy to say that right before going on tour before those same mashed potatoes. On the first night, a few nights ago, the gravy kicked in. He was booed off the stage. There was no second night. The rest of the tour, at least for Billy Bob, was canceled. Willie may be mellow, but he's no dummy. There's one good thing about Billy Bob, though. He's living proof that no matter how famous or rich or good-looking Brad Pitt is, he has to live every day knowing that he's following up Billy Bob with Angelina. That's like shacking up with Wilma Flintstone after Fred left. Not good. Knowing your wife slept with Carl from Sling Blade, that is not right. For being a complete ass and getting his whole tour canceled in one 13-minute interview, Billy Bob Thornton gets a Woody.
He was good in Sling Blade.
Give me some French fried potatoes. Yeah, he was great.
Also starring?
Dwight Yoakam!
Thank you.
Does anyone have to shake hands with Dwight Yoakam right
Not
now,
right
or can
now.
We move on?
I'm good.
Okay.
Saw him on my way in.
Yeah, me too. I shook his hand. By the way, speaking of Woody's, We want to thank, I don't have that in front of me, that little piece of paper, but we want to thank Marley's.
Yes.
And we want to urge everybody, make sure after the games or when you're downtown or if you're over at Chandler Mall, make sure you cruise into Marley's. Marley's is a proud sponsor of the Grant Wood Show and really helping us out here. And now we all were very excited to see their little insert. What is Woody doing? Stop that.
Shaking hands with Woody.
Carrie is.
Woody on every table.
Come on now. At Marley's, soon, you will see a nice little thing there on each table that says Marley's proud sponsor of the Grant Wood Show, and it says, get your weekly Woody, and a little picture of our man there. And I think we're having T-shirts printed up, too, that says, get your weekly Woody. So weekly Woody,
one.
That's not bad, is it?
No, that's...
It's not nearly enough.
It's not? Mark?
Wow. See?
Darted. It's more than enough.
I hate when the teasing like this.
Yeah, I know. She's a big tease. What can you say?
My wife said... She's going to love this. Every now and then we have a little burst of adolescent energy. You know?
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to say that nice. Uh-huh. And she said, do you realize we've made love 3 times in 1 day? And I said, well, that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is we've made love 3 times in 93 days. If I was the kind of guy to keep track of that.
If I had a calendar with X's on it?
Yeah.
Start with 0. Yeah, that's not good.
So, you know,
sorry about
what
that.
Are you going to do?
Well, you know, it's all about the averages. So you had one good game, and that's not bad.
Exactly.
3 times in 1 day.
I know. What was
that?
What the hell?
Hat trick.
There was a hat involved.
Why? Was there? Oh, you remember that? There was a famous Woody Allen. I remember reading this in college, in Playboy interview. He was married to Louise Lasser. Remember her?
Oh, yeah. From the show.
Fernwood.
No, it was her own show.
Yeah. Mary Hartman. Yeah. He was married to Louise Lasser. And they said, what happened to your marriage, sir? He said, well, she was great. She would come at the drop of a hat, but I got tired of wearing a hat. That was just mine. Why I remember that, I don't know. But I just thought of it when you said a hat was involved. Got tired of wearing a hat. What could you say? I mean, come on now. Okay, here.
It's impressive, though, Mark. Thanks for sharing.
Yes, thanks for sharing.
Which part was impressive? The three in 1 day?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
The part we didn't believe.
It's the whole reason we started the show is the Cialis trifecta.
Little bloop.
Now, if you...
That's terrible.
If you're going to believe one part of that story or the other part, would you believe the 90 days or the 3 in 1?
I'm going with the 90.
I'm going with the 90.
Right. He's a comedian. He writes shit for laughs for money.
Yeah, I know. The 90 part seems painfully true.
Maybe it was we tried 3 times. I said, oops, I'm sorry, twice. And the third time it took.
Wow. Way to go on the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, way to go. That's a whole Cialis thing, huh? So you're recommending that. Maybe you could get them as a sponsor.
Here's the boy. There you go.
That would be good, huh? Maybe. No, that would
if
be
you
weak.
Show me, if you tell them the weekly Woody tie-in.
Oh, my God.
No, because then everyone's going to think I'm using it. And
what would be wrong with that? Grant,
it would be.
53? Live a little.
Set on that. No, I can't do it. That
here's
day,
the problem. Here's
that
the
day
problem
will come, I'm sure, but it hasn't yet.
Here's the problem with it. The effects can last for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Who needs that?
Exactly.
Well,
I got stuff to do.
Something to hang your hat on.
Chop, chop.
Mm-hmm.
or
that
not.
Is too long. My thought is taking a Viagra is kind of like starting a game of Monopoly. You know, it seems like a really good idea at the time.
Oh, shit.
And about 20 minutes later, you're going, God, when is this going to be over? Because I'm out of money.
Yeah.
And
no
I can't
kidding.
Go anywhere.
Exactly.
I'm
I can't pass
stuck at
go.
Home. I may
you're
go to
stuck.
Jail.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, I have no wine coolers and bear claws. I got to go with the Viagra.
You do? Wow. That's reminiscent of someone we know. Never
yeah,
mind.
Yeah,
never
long
mind.
Story.
Okay, I want to say one thing here that I want us to look for here. And the president is going to come up with his immigration reform plan. That should be very interesting. Because that has been the death knell to anyone who wanted. I mean, almost sunk McCain in his
That's
presidential
right.
race. And to John's credit, he kept flogging that because it was the right thing to do. And of course, John being John, decided, oh, why don't I partner with Ted Kennedy? That'll be popular
right, yeah.
with the Republicans. So everything possible to try to upset people.
Right.
But they came up with their proposal. And it had a pathway to citizenship for the 12 million people who are here illegally, supposedly, although I think that might be less now. Then he So they dealt with that. They had a few other provisions. It didn't work though. Some workplace enforcement. Why didn't it work? I mean, one reason is because some people are not going to be for any immigration reform that has anything to do with pathway to citizenship. They say boot everybody out, deport everybody, and let them start over. Now, well, that's not going to work. Okay, I think the middle ground here is, yes, we'll give people a pathway to citizenship, but the reason it didn't work is because you can't give 12 million people their citizenship or a pathway to citizenship if we think there's a reasonable chance that we may have 12 million more following them here, which is exactly what happened before. You know, when Reagan signed the immigration reform bill in the 80s, that was supposed to end the problem. Well, it didn't end the problem. It just, it's like you've got a leaky boat here. You've got to plug the leak first. And that's what we've got. We've got a leaky border. And so until people are convinced that you're going to shut down the border and people are not going to be crossing in these huge numbers illegally, then I don't support a pathway to citizenship for these people who are already here. So, I'm going to be interested because I don't believe, my guess is the president probably won't focus on that. No. And now we're going to have the governor down there, and McCain will be down there, and all these other people, and we'll see what they say about that. But that's what I would like for people to look for, is a commitment that we're going to shut down the border. Now, a lot of people say, oh, you can't do that. It's not possible. Well, how are you going to do it? Are you kidding me? The United States of America can't shut down that southern border. I just don't believe it. We can do it through technology. The fence, have either of you ever seen that fence down there?
Just
down there?
Sections of fence.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's fairly bogus in my view. We went down, when I prosecuted this guy last year, a Border Patrol agent who killed somebody who was in the act of surrender. We went down and checked out the fence quite a bit. There's big gaps in the fence. The thing I liked about it that was really absurd was as you were driving up on it, up at the top of the fence, which is about, I'm not so sure, I'd say maybe 8 feet tall, something like that, seven, something you could jump up. You could jump up and grab hold of this thing, but it looked like, if you see it at prisons and jails where they have barbed wire, it looked like one of these little knobs up there that is super sharp.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever you call that. And, the blades are on it. So if you grabbed it, it would just,
shred
your hand, okay? I said, man, that's a good idea. I'm not so sure why they're up there, but I guess just in case someone wants to grab hold. You get up there? No, it's a knob. So
it's actually a foothold.
It's great. It gives you something to jump up and grab hold of, which is absolutely ludicrous. So I have no idea why those are there. So the whole thing, and then, of course, you got all the people on the left saying, well, the animals aren't able to go migrate back and forth, so we don't want the fence for that. That was a bunch of bull. So somehow, though, between a combination of the fence, technology, more Border Patrol, I have no problem with the National Guard going down there for a while anywhere to shut this down. I think you got to shut the border. If you don't shut the border, then I don't think any of this makes sense myself.
You know, it should be harder to get into the United States of America than to get into a Diamondbacks game.
Yeah, wouldn't you think?
Just a thought.
Yeah.
There's a comparison.
Well,
I mean,
how do we just let people pour over?
Because it's not just the, if it was all good guys,
yeah.
All right, cool, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Hardworking, Mexicans that want to provide for them and their family.
Yeah, but not everybody is.
There's bad guys coming through.
Well, to be honest with you, I think we have changed our mind here, okay? We used to say, we don't want the bad guys, but the good guys, okay, we understand that. But now we don't want either one of them. And frankly, I'm there too. 12 million is a lot of people.
It's probably low on the low end, don't you think?
I don't know now, just because with the economic problems, a lot of them have lost their jobs and some increased enforcement at different places. A lot of them have gone home. But let's just say the number is 12 million, whatever it is. I don't know what my limit is on how many illegal aliens we need in the United States. I'm going to say 12 million.
12 million is good. You know
that's a good number for
that's
me.
Where we are.
We don't need more. We got plenty.
It ought to be like a popular nightclub. You can't come in until somebody leaves.
Yeah, exactly.
Just that's start what a line at the border.
Again, that's the point. The point is, when they come up with these things, and when Obama comes up with this thing, if you want to say these 12 million people, to address that point, that they should be able to have some sort of pathway to citizenship. I understand that. I mean, here in Arizona, we have people, we've invited them to come over here. We welcome them to work at our hotels, at our restaurants, at our fields, at our construction sites. We everybody knew this was going on since I was a little kid here, okay? So it's been going on forever. And we knew also that they were buying homes, that they were depositing money in the banks, that they were engaged totally in the community. We knew they were having children and that their children were United States citizens now. So we created this huge mess where dad is illegal, mom may or may not be illegal, they own a home, the oldest kid is illegal, the three younger kids are American citizens. You know, it's a huge mess. So we need to straighten out that mess out of just fairness, out of humanity, and compassion for people. We need to straighten that out. I understand that. But you can't do that if you're going to allow just tens of millions of more to come in, because we don't need that many more. And then, as far as Carrie's point about we need them to work here, yes.
Yeah.
We can come up with that. We can come up with a guest worker program. There. I mean, let if we need workers in Arizona, And if it's true that Americans won't do certain jobs, then sure, let's work it out. So they come here, temporarily, and then they go home. You know, the migrant worker from the 60s and 70s, you know, that we've heard so much about, what was the key word there? Migrant. You know, they were here during the seasons. They went with the seasons. They didn't come here, move here, live here. Okay? And you know, things have changed in Arizona. When I grew up here, I think Phoenix is same distance from the border as it was then. I don't think
seems like it should be.
We didn't have any earthquakes or
no.
anything.
No,
we seem a lot closer than we used to when, you know, half the billboards are in Spanish, and you know, Spanish this, Spanish that, and that's interesting. Why is that? Is it because we're all suddenly
bilingual?
Bilingual? I don't think so.
No.
I think it's because we got so many people here illegally, and again they said, well, this is the history of America. Not really. The history of America is immigrants came here and assimilated into our society. They learned English. They wanted to be Americans. And if we allow people to come here who really want to be Mexicans but are here strictly for the money and for the economics, I think it's crazy to think that won't affect this country and our culture and everything else. And it has affected it. So I don't have any problem that we're going to change things. What I don't like is I don't think you should go rounding people up. I don't think you should be stomping on people's civil rights. And I think you need to be compassionate about the situation that you've created. So, you know, the problem with that is it's a typical moderate's viewpoint. And that means you attract virtually nobody to your position.
That's right.
You know, you need to be far right or far left. Then you can have a parade.
Well, so who establishes the agenda for the border conferences? I mean, do we get to see it before they come down?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they do. They have to tackle the fence. They have to tackle the work issue. And if there is going to be a guest worker program, and how do we regulate it? And how do we legalize it? And then what are they going to be allowed to do when they're here? You know, own property?
Right.
But that's a lot of topics. So who sits down and says, here's what we're going to solve before we go,
exactly.
or at least talk about, for God's sake.
I don't know. I think this thing that Obama will do his own thing, and that's most important. This thing that they're going to have here in Arizona, I think it's a Senate committee, so McCain will probably be the guy, although he's
Does
in
Janet
the minority.
Kennedy in put on it?
Oh, on that, I don't know. No. She should.
She knows a hell of a lot about it.
I would think.
So many problems that the rest of the country faces are spinoffs of this problem.
Mm-hmm.
For example, health care.
Right.
I mean, go to border towns in Texas, especially. They're shutting down hospital after hospital
right.
because they're just being inundated with
education.
Schools.
The kids
problem.
Come and go. Their English isn't their first language. They have to get them up. They have to pass the AIMS test. They don't speak English.
Have you been to an emergency room in Phoenix?
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like going to Tijuana for a highlight game. It's great, except they're all in there for, you know, because they got the flu.
Yeah,
it's a problem because they, you know, you don't have doctors, so you go to the emergency room, they got to see everybody. And so you're in there because you've got an emergency, and you got all these other people who were here who are undocumented folks, and they're there because that's their primary care physician. Well, that's not fair to anybody. That's not right. Again, however we got here, we're here. Okay, we've got a mess on our hands. The big political problem is anyone who's touched this has suffered for it. Unless you want to play to the left completely or play to the right completely. And that's a winner, depending on where you live. In Arizona, you need to play to the right. If you play to the right, and Arpaio obviously is a classic, Russell Pierce, all of these guys, Andy Thomas, so that's a winner.
So it's every other state, because Arizona, you play to the right.
Mm-hmm.
New Mexico, you play to the left.
Yes.
Texas, you play to the right.
Right.
Louisiana, you play to the left.
California you play to the left.
So it's so these guys have got to walk a lot farther if they want to come into the country.
You're right. They don't know what's going on. Isn't that crazy? That's interesting. Yep. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, because it's like, wow, okay, where do I have to enter?
Yeah, left, right, left, you know,
this
right.
Is,
right.
This
left,
is
right.
Like a, well, I got a welcome sign, I got a stay out sign.
Right.
I got a welcome sign.
Right. That's crazy.
Hey, speaking of, are you any thoughts on B.O., on Bo? You've heard about Bo.
Bo's the White House dog.
The new White House dog?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I've always been very interested in that Labradoodle. It seemed like a cool dog.
Labradoodle
and
lost.
And he chose the other one.
Well, and he said he was going to get a rescue dog. But he kind of did,
know,
because it was given to him by the Kennedy family.
Let me out!
Which it's only appropriate that they would have a water dog.
Oh,
but that's
God, Mark.
But that's just,
you know, you can get one of those.
That's just cool.
Are those expensive? Those dogs?
They're very expensive.
Because I saw on the way up to Saguaro Lake, it said water dogs $1, and so apparently they're not.
Not that much.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, maybe.
What
not.
Is a water dog that used for bait? Remember those things? You seen those?
Yeah.
I tried that one time when I was a kid. My dad, we used to go up to the lake, and he said, "Okay, put that water dog on there." I said, Jesus Christ, what is that thing? It was disgusting.
Is it alive?
It's like a live dill pickle. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen with eyes. It was
live
sick.
Dill pickle.
But I am not touching that thing.
Back to your conversation about would you?
Absolutely horrible.
Would you eat 3 water dogs?
No, God, they're sickening.
For $500,000.
Would I eat 3 water dogs?
Boy, I'm sudden.
Got him thinking.
Oh, yeah, I would. I'd eat a lot of things for that.
That's, you know what, that's
so
a good
Carrie,
question for
Carrie
him.
Would for $10 million, apparently.
Yes.
Never mind.
I think women are wonderful.
Have you already?
To hang with one for a year would be no, as long as my husband was okay.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing he would be.
He'd run the camera.
That's right.
Would
back a little
if
bit.
If this were to happen, do you already have one picked out?
No.
Oh.
No.
Wow.
Have to do some dating.
Okay. Let's.
I'm reading that book by Curious George. just in case anybody does come up with a 10 mil, I've got it.
Okay.
Some of my answers.
And we're going to take a quick break here.
Please.
Okay, let's take a break. So what is going on here with the whole bitch?
My Curious George.
I just called your office.
Are they calling you?
They're calling right here.
They are? Okay, good. Yeah, let's just wait till he comes in.
I called your office. Robert's calling his contact, trying to track him down.
Supposed to be in some meeting or something. We have to mention the Masters before we go here, and apparently Mr. Bidwell is
playing in the Masters.
I don't know,
day after tournament and
no.
Can't call.
Oh yeah, that's supposed to be good.
Oh,
that tournament, that'd
be
pretty
great.
Cool. Yeah, my dad just told me he got invited to that and didn't go.
What?
Yeah, he was supposed to. You would have played today. You got to go to the Masters Saturday. I don't know about Sunday, and then Monday you got to play the course. That would have been cool.
That's like being invited to play Cyprus and not playing.
Well, yeah, I don't know why.
Which
didn't
I also
go,
did.
He didn't go, but.
Just once.
So Mr. Bidwell, hopefully we'll get him on next week. Also next week, John Southers, who is the Colorado Attorney General, is going to come on and talk a little prosecution and current issues with us. And I think Mike Hughes, who's president of the Mesa School Board, is going to be in the house. So we got lots of action next week.
He's fun.
Sure. Oh, yeah. He'll be great. He'll be great. And he's actually been depressed for the last week because Johnny Blanchard died.
I didn't know he was sick.
Yep.
Who's that?
Third string catcher for the Yankees. Back in the day.
They call him Doc?
Doc Blanchard, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, remember him?
Yeah.
I know.
No, I don't.
It was
well, sorry.
Johnny was great.
I'm
he was
sure
one of the greats.
Doc Blanchard.
Speaking of great,
yep.
I know that you were pulling for Frank Licklider in the Masters.
Love Frank.
But since
he's
he wasn't competing.
He's my favorite golfer.
Yes, very strange. Since he wasn't competing, is that his name or nickname?
Frank?
Yeah. No. Frank, yeah. He's a very very frank person, so
yes.
They call him Frank. Yeah, that's what I meant. Okay. Pretty cool yesterday. Big Phil.
Oh.
God, he made a run.
Oh, I mean, let me just tell you one thing.
30 on the front.
But here's what pisses me
sick.
Off. The people who won a dog, Mickelson, are like, oh, God, he could have had it. He could have won, which is true. He could have won. But, okay, the guy was way back,
yeah.
Right? He was like 4 under and went to 11 under before he fell back a little. How about saying, instead of, oh, the guy, you know, he blew it at the end. He didn't blow it at the end. He pretty much ran out of gas, too. Anyone who's played sports knows if you get way behind, you come back and you get all the way back, it is very, very difficult to hang on there. And so he didn't hang on. How about celebrating that he shot a 30 on the front?
Oh, that's unbelievable.
I mean, that was fantastic. And the...
Kenny Perry.
That was disappointing, don't you think?
Wow. Really
That's
wanted to see him win.
So did he choke or did he think he ran out of gas? He's like an old guy. You know
what? Those his tee shots tell me that he choked.
Yeah.
That's no good.
We're going to go here to...
He's on.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, we have
Is
Mr.
Really?
Bidwell. Yes.
I don't hear him.
All right. Hey, Mike, are you on there?
I'm here.
How you
there
doing, man?
There he is.
I'm good.
Okay, Mike Bidwell, head honcho, the NFC champion, Arizona Cardinals, and as if that's not enough, now I got to open the paper every day and see you in there talking economics, talking about the state budget. This is getting serious here, you know. I think you're
running for governor.
Well, maybe I'm getting a little concerned about this. Or I guess that's a good thing. Have you ever thought about running for office?
I didn't think very long. I'm having fun doing what I'm doing, believe me.
What about your experience with the Bob Dole campaign? Didn't that just tell you someday I got to do it myself?
Exactly. I worked with great leaders in our state, like the then Attorney General, Grant Woods.
Bob Dole was great, though. One of my all-time favorite people. But, yeah, I know. You were right there. You were working hard. Well, tell me, we're going to ask you a couple football questions, and we're going to go to the main subject here, but on football, we talked a lot on the show here about the Super Bowl quest and what a great run we had. But now we've had a couple months that have gone by. But still, I mean, in your lifetime, I mean, since you were a little kid, you've been, you know, this team has been such a big part of your life, a major part of your life. And then here we are. This was the year we made it all the way. Just describe for us what it was like for you and your family.
Well, it was just tremendous ride, and you're right. You know, through the years, we haven't had a lot of success on the field. We've had a couple of years here and there where we've gone to the playoffs or flirted with playoff runs. But, boy, this was a really special year. Everything came together. You know, we had some great players, great coaches who drew up the right kind of game plans, and the players put in a lot of work. And thank goodness stayed healthy, through the whole campaign. But, you know, we really did what you want to do is play your best football in January, and the players really rose to the occasion and got us into the Super Bowl. And, you know, from our perspective, it was a terrific Super Bowl, just about 35 seconds too long.
Yeah, shoot.
Yeah, who was the guy who stepped in front of Fitz who wasn't even in the game?
I think that was Antrell Roll.
Can you do something to him? Is that something you just can't talk about? Or I guess
nobody really realized that player get all the way down the field like that. So
who would have thought? I know. They just signed that guy yesterday. I saw, or today, whenever it was, Harrison, and so they replayed that stupid play. I really don't need to see that again.
No, they need to lose that footage.
No, that's no good. But you know what? I'll just focus on this. In the moments, great moments of Arizona sports history. Right there at the top, I'd say it's Gonzo's single for the Diamondbacks to win the World Series, and when Larry Fitzgerald caught that ball over the middle and split the defenders, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
That was awesome. I mean, I've never seen, you know, Fitz isn't really known for his open field speed, but the way his breakaway speed on that play was just unbelievable.
Just like he pushed a button and hit the afterburners, wasn't that? I mean, that's as good as it gets. It was fantastic. So. Thank you for the ride we had there. That was just absolutely fantastic. And now you've got Cardinal fans all over the country. We've talked about this in the stadium there in Tampa. The Steelers had us outnumbered, the Steeler fans. But around the country, I don't think there's any question. Most people were pulling for the Cardinals.
I think you're right. And we had a lot of players that, fans really liked hearing their stories, the Kurt Warner story, the Larry Fitzgerald story, just seeing – you know, the way we played and the way we conducted ourselves. And I think America likes an underdog, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's those two things, the underdog and your two kind of name players there both happen to be really great guys and role models, really, for football and for kids all around. So What a great deal.
Let's do it again. When do you get to go to Flagstaff?
We go up to Flagstaff in August, and we're looking forward to that. You know, the players are actually in right now during their off-season training program. We have, you know, over 90% of the guys are in, and they're working out and getting ready. And so it's encouraging to see. We're just a couple weeks away from the NFL draft, so we've got some exciting additions coming to the team here in just a few more weeks.
Any clues on what you're looking for in the draft?
Well, I think we're going to look to, you know, obviously strengthen our defense. You know, you always need more pass rushers and defensive linemen. So I think we're going to look at that. And as well, you know, trying to get a running back with some breakaway speed is something that we've looked at for the last couple of years. And you know, obviously what Tim Hightower brings to the table is quite a bit. But if you could get a guy with a little bit more top-end speed,
Someone faster than Edge?
Somebody that's got a little more top-end speed than the talent we're carrying. So,
and that dude, I give him credit. If you need 1 or 2 yards, Edge is your man, and not on third down, but on first or second down. If you need 1 or 2 yards,
Mike, you need to know. Grant rarely tells you what he thinks when he's interviewing you on a radio show.
I know.
He's abstract, so sometimes you have to ask him again. What do you really think?
No, a lot of guys get stuffed on first down or second down, and he does not. He always gets 1 or 2 yards. Now, I don't know if there's a great market because that 2nd and 9 is kind of rough.
Exactly.
Anyway, but Hightower, man, what a treat he turned out to be, huh?
Hightower, you know, it just goes to show what you can get in the draft, you know, in some of those lower rounds. He's a fifth-round draft choice, and, you know, he was really an impact player for us.
He was. That was a great, great pick. Okay, now you're the president of GPEC. Tell people what GPEC is.
Well, actually, the chairman of the board of directors of GPEC, and about 20 years ago, the Greater Phoenix Economic Council, or known as GPEC, was formed during an economic crisis, and that was really between the 18 Valley cities and the county, you know, forming an organization that's a regional economic development organization, and then having, you know, 150 of the top Arizona companies become private investors in a public-private partnership. And really our job is to go out and get high-paying jobs to the greater Phoenix area, and also be the subject matter expert to give advice to the public policymakers about what sort of economic development programs we need. So, you know, really, it's an organization that was going along. Everything was going great until the worldwide economy slowed down. And, you know, we've seen it hit Arizona harder than most states. And we're dealing with a record $3.2 billion budget deficit.
$3.2 billion out of $9 billion, right?
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
It's the largest percentage budget deficit in the league. Or in the league. Still talking like football guy, but in the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really remarkable. And what we're trying to do is we, you know, a week or so ago put together a summit and had 800 leaders show up on basically 10 days' notice to listen to the governor, the president of the Senate, Bob Burns, and Speaker of the House, Kirk Adams, as well as education leaders and K through 12, as well as you know, the community colleges. Dr. Crow spoke on behalf of ASU, and then some regional economists come in and talk about really just kind of framing the issue to show people exactly how bad it is, and we're in pretty bad shape right now.
What do you think? I think you heard from the governor has her plan really relies upon on temporary tax increases along with budget cuts. Although I don't think she's ever delineated what those tax increases are going to be. The legislative leadership is talking more about budget cuts and borrowing. And I think, isn't that what they told you?
Yeah, that's pretty much what they told us, Grant. And what's interesting is you know, we have one of the highest, you know, tax rates on real and personal property tax in the Mountain West states. But if you look at us compared to the other 50 states in spending, we're 41st in spending, so we're taxing ourselves a lot, but we're not spending a lot relative to the rest of the state. So it's kind of funny that, you know, how that's all worked out.
Yeah, how does that work? I mean, why is that? That seems like the worst of all worlds.
Exactly, we've got the worst of all worlds, and I think, you know, the other thing that's kind of funny is, you know, it just doesn't seem like this budget that we've got. It seems like it's kind of a dysfunctional budget.
Yes.
You know, when the worldwide economy slows down, it's you know, we really get hit harder than anybody yes. else. And it's sort of feast or famine in Arizona. When things are going great, we're off the charts. When they're bad, we get hit harder.
What do you think the do you have an opinion on the answer there? And I've got an open mind on this. I've really gone into this with an open mind. The problem I have with temporary tax increases is they never seem to be temporary.
Right.
I understand the idea that you're just going to do it for a couple years, but they never seem to go away. And consequently, this idea of borrowing in the short term that seems to be unpopular among the, you know, cognoscente, if you will, but popular among more hardcore Republicans, to me, I'm not so sure why that's such a bad idea. Why is short borrowing not preferable to risking a temporary tax that may not be temporary?
You know, I'm not sure of all the pluses and minuses of it, and to answer your question, I don't think I've got my mind made up. I just know that we've got to have an open mind, and if we need new revenues, and whether they're, you know, borrowed revenues or just new revenues coming through taxes, I don't know that I've made my mind up. But what's for sure is, and this what's going to come out of this economy and this downturn are going to be parts of our country that are winners and losers. Mm-hmm. And what we need to impress upon our state leadership is that, you know, we want Arizona to be a winner.
Right.
You know, what we found is we went from an economy that was based on, you know, the five C's, copper, cotton, citrus, cattle, and climate, to one that, you know, most of our jobs are coming from retail and construction
right.
industries. And, you know, it just isn't the type of diversified economy that I think we all want. And so we really need to make sure that we don't just, if we are going to raise taxes, just raise taxes to, you know, get across, you know, a bridge over an economic gulf, but rather what we try to do is build a better Arizona. And
right.
so there's still a lot more analysis that needs to be done. A lot more ideas need to come to the table. But it's clear we're going to have to cut, and we're going to have to, you know, make sure that we you know, bring in new revenues from one sort or another and try to get through this.
And one last area that, when you talk about that, cutting in education, that seems to be, that I would think that would be something GPEC would be real hesitant to get behind, because when you're talking about competing into the future and bringing in high-paid jobs and employers who supply those high-paid jobs, it's that's a difficult prospect if you have second-rate educational institutions or second-rate educational systems. And right now, we see Arizona State under Dr. Crow really moving to a different level. And I think the fear a lot of us have is that because of these budget cuts, Arizona State and our whole educational system, K through 12, is going to suffer greatly. And people don't understand that's not temporary. That's something from which you don't recover for decades.
I couldn't agree with you more. And it's certainly GPEC's position that we need a well-trained and well-educated workforce. You know, you're not going to move your company or invest capital in this in any state if you think that you're not going to be able to hire the talent to run and operate your business at the highest level. So that it's a key element no matter where you are in terms of doing economic development. And I just think it's bad public policy to, you know, sort of balance this budget deficit on the backs of higher education and K through 12 as well.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, most Arizonans share that opinion.
Right.
What we've got to do is find a way to achieve our educational goals and continue to get better in education, because I don't think we're doing as well as we should be.
No.
And make sure the dollars are spent in the right way.
Yeah, I mean, I always said, you know, why not here? I mean, they rate the states always on their educational systems and their state universities, and Arizona has never been even near the top. Well, why not? Why do we just settle for that? I understand we have some challenges out here that other states don't have with the transient population and other things, but so what? Do they value education more in Minnesota than they do here? Apparently they do, but I don't know why that's the case. I don't know why we shouldn't demand as leaders to say, look, here's the thing. 25 years from now, Arizona is going to be known as one of the top educational states in the country. We could do that. There's no reason we couldn't do that.
Well, you know, it's not going to happen unless it starts at the top. What we've got to do is we've got to have our top state leaders, you know, speaking that as a goal. I can tell you there's no way we would have gotten to the Super Bowl. There's no way we would have got, you know, the University of Phoenix Stadium built if we wouldn't have set goals, been very vocal in our organization about doing it. And, you know, I think that unless leadership is saying this is the way we're going, follow me, you know, we're not going to get there. And, you know, and we're lucky to have Dr. Crow.
Yeah, we are. I'm afraid we're going to lose him.
I am, too. If you know, the reality is if we crater our education system, somebody's going to come, you know,
they're going to come get him.
And then somebody will get him.
Exactly. And he's going to go because he's not going to see the commitment. And then it's even worse because think about whoever would replace him. You're going to get somebody who, you know, he leaves because there's no commitment to making this a great university. Who wants to follow that? You're going
right.
to, you know, so it's just a, that's not a good scenario. So, well, I appreciate you taking the initiative here and spending the time. I talk to so many young people, and by young people I mean like young professionals. They don't really understand how things happen in a community. And it's like you said, you don't just naturally have a stadium there. It happens because you set goals, and then people go work hard to achieve them. You don't have anything in a community unless people take the initiative to do it. So you know, no one's paying you to go spend all of this time on GPAC and talking about these issues, but that's what it takes to make the community in which you live a great one. So thanks for doing that and for your leadership.
I appreciate it, Grant.
And thanks for the great ride we had.
Absolutely. That was a lot of fun. Let's do it again this year.
Okay, it's a deal. Michael Bidwell, right. Thank you very much,
thanks,
man.
Mike.
Thanks. Take care.
See you later. Okay, guys, I think... I don't know what you think.
One thing I didn't want to interrupt him, but... Yep. We're short on money.
Yep.
And what did University of Phoenix pay for the naming rights to the stadium?
A lot.
What about the Grand Canyon? We could auction that off. You know, University of Phoenix Grand Canyon.
They could pay sponsored national parks.
The Viagra has gone to Mark's head.
I think it has.
Yes,
yeah.
It
well,
has.
That was the idea.
That's the blood flow.
Wow. We could do a 4-hour show.
Yeah, let's not. Yeah, we could. But wow. We're not going to because I think.
That's a show.
That's a show.
All right. See you guys.